Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. In this series of podcasts, we have carefully selected recent articles included in the latest version of the OMA Obesity Algorithm, which is a comprehensive review of obesity medicine that can be found at obesitymedicine.org. We then discuss this new science with obesity experts. I'm Mark Labriola, and in this episode, OMA Chief Science Officer Dr. Harold Bays interviews Dr. Justin Taunt about a recent article discussing ultra-processed diets and weight gain. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Welcome. My name is Dr. Harold Bays, Medical Director and President of the Louisville Metabolic and Atherosclerosis Research Center, located in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm also the Chief Science Officer for the Obesity Medicine Association. I'd like to welcome you today to this podcast. What we do with these podcasts is we take articles. They're in the latest version of the Obesity Medicine Association Obesity Algorithm. And then we seek out experts to comment upon that latest science, that latest in the medical literature that's in that obesity algorithm, to try to get a greater perspective. And here with us today, we have Dr. Justin Taunt. Dr. Taunt, why don't you tell the people who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm a physician in my family medicine training at Eastern Virginia Medical School. I've been interested in studying obesity as a disease for several years now, and actually was one of the authors on the 2020 Obesity Medicine Algorithm.
And you certainly were. And I think I've told you this before, but I'm going to say it on the air. I really appreciate all the hard work you put into it. It was just really an invaluable contribution that I think really improved the 2020 version. Okay, so today's article is very interesting. You chose this, and this is very interesting. It's an article published by Hall, Kevin Hall, and this was in Cell Metabolism, so a very high-end journal. And the name of the article is Ultra-Processed Diets Cause Excess Calorie Intake and Weight Gain. Okay, I want to make sure we got that. Ultra-processed diets cause excessive calorie intake and weight gain in inpatient randomized controlled trial of ad libitum food intake. And what these folks did, these researchers did, is they got 20 weight-stable adults in their 30s, and they fed them an ultra-processed or unprocessed diet for 2 weeks. And they were matched with regard to nutritional content and that kind of thing. But what was very interesting is the study participants who consumed the ultra-processed diet increased their consumption of carbohydrates and they gained weight. Okay? I think many clinicians are going to think, well, of course they did. Okay? But we're going to get into why that is. Okay? So the conclusion is that... maybe limiting the consumption of ultra-processed foods may be effective for obesity prevention and treatment. So before we get into my opinion about what's going on, I'd like to get your opinion, Dr. Taunt. Since these diets were designed to be matched in calories and energy density and macronutrients and sugar and sodium and all that stuff and fiber, why is it that the participants preferred carbohydrates, and why is it that the people that were on these processed diets, why is it that they gained weight? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a couple different possibilities. The main ones that I would think of are a difference in the metabolizable energy of the foods, or also the ad libitum satiety of the foods.
Right. And just so people know, in the obesity algorithm, we go into this in detail. There's nothing inherently wrong about a food being processed. Like pasteurization is processed, or taking meat from bones is a process. What is your sense about the meaning of this curious word that I like to use? So it's not curious to me. Ultra processed. What, as a clinician, what does that mean to you? Ultra processed.
Yeah, I mean, there is an actual definition for ultra-processed in literature, but essentially the idea is that it's things that you would think of as processed food, like chips. You know, when you go to a vending machine, like what do you see in there? Mostly ultra-processed food.
And which, and when it comes down to what we call natural foods or whole foods or processed foods, which of those undergo the greatest absorption in the gastrointestinal tract, the most efficient gastrointestinal absorption? Which of those types of foods?
Yeah, the processed foods are absorbed more. So it takes a certain amount of energy to absorb food, and the more unprocessed foods consume more energy, so they end up actually having less energy absorbed in that process.
Right, and it's absorbed over a longer period of time. And if it's absorbed over a short period of time, you might get these bursts in insulin, but it's over a long period of time, you don't have that as much of that peak in the insulin. And when you start talking about, you know, peaks of nutrient absorption and such, is it your sense that that can affect people's you know, metabolic health and such?
Yeah, I think it can. You know, the idea of insulin resistance, we don't yet know for certain whether like what's causing the effect there. Is it insulin resistance is causing higher insulin levels, or higher insulin levels causing insulin resistance?
Well, okay. So when we talk about ad libitum satiety, what are the factors involved in how people eat?
Yeah, there are a ton of factors involved, from the characteristics of the food, the psychosocial factors, and as well as a person's own individual biology and circumstances.
Well, I got to tell you, one of the takeaway messages of this article for me is that I think it reflects about my personal experience. I don't know if this is science or not, but I mean, in this aspect, I guess it is because it's supported by this article. But let's take not carbohydrates. I find that if I don't eat hardly any fats at all for a while, I don't have much of a desire for certainly processed fats. And I find that if I stay away from ultra-processed carbohydrates, that I no longer have a hunger for that. I have no longer have a desire for that. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of opposed to that. Has that been your experience in managing patients, that one of the best ways to adhere to appropriate nutrition is to simply adhere to it, that over time, maybe in some sense, it gets easier for people?
Yeah, definitely. The way I would think about it is that cravings and things like that, they're based off of what's in your recent memory. Like if you, the farther away you get from having it, it's not like you kind of forget about it and just don't really care for it anymore.
And one of the real challenges, I think, for patients is that while it would be nice if everybody followed their satiety signaling or their hunger signaling, the fact is we got 24/7 advertisements of people out there who have spent billions of dollars trying to figure out how to take specific nutrients out of foods that are most desirable and then advertise it. So yet again, you know, it with this study, it suggests that that people might do better on a non-processed food intake. But how do you fight it? How do you fight the machine? How do you rage against the machine? How do you say, well, maybe you should follow your physiology or your satiety signals, and maybe you shouldn't be so much listening to the multi-billion-dollar ad campaign that's making you want these foods that you might not otherwise have eaten? What do you do?
Yeah, that's a really hard situation for most people, and I think some ways to start thinking about it are trying to think about what specific goals that you have. Like if your goal is weight loss, then, you know, try prioritizing things to get there. If your goal is, you know, different than that, then, you know, kind of arrange your life around that. But I think that's just, you know, an individual to individual kind of thing. And just more broadly, we need to kind of think as a society, what do we want? Is this the best way to set up our society, or should we, you know, try lobbying for policies that set up our society in a better way?
Well, and even though this wasn't addressed by this article, you would agree that that in many respects, physical activity or physical exercise is also part of healthful living. Would you agree with that?
Certainly. You know, I think exercise definitely has its own independent benefits for like longevity and health, but it also has effects on satiety, like we're talking about. You know, when you do activity, it decreases hunger and can help people lose weight that way. People just have to be careful to not overcompensate with reward foods after they exercise.
And what we hear all the time is that while physical activity is pretty good about, it does maybe have some marginal benefits on weight loss, sure seems to help with weight loss maintenance. Has that been your experience?
Definitely.
Okay, I guess the last question I would have is, I mean, this was done in a research setting and such, but is this study applicable outside the laboratory setting? What would be the essential message that you would give to the folks out there with regard to the nutritional intake of processed food?
Yeah, I think this is applicable outside the laboratory setting. And it's also important to keep in mind, as you said before, there's many different types of processing. Just cooking food is processing. And they can have many different effects on the body, and not all of them are necessarily bad. And for this study outside the laboratory, I think the main takeaway is that a calorie deficit should be the byproduct of a good diet, like a well-intentioned diet, rather than purposely necessarily trying to limit calories without looking at the quality of the diet. I don't think like calorie counting definitely will work for people to lose weight, but I don't think it will be the best long-term solution for most people because it doesn't necessarily take into account their hunger levels.
Right. And I think that's a great way to close the program. It isn't just the caloric quantity. It's also the caloric quality. And I think that's been substantiated by this study and many other studies. That, as you said, it isn't just how much you eat. It's what you eat that can make a real difference. Well, Dr. Trant, thank you very much. I think this is a very practical article, very practical science, and I think a very practical discussion for clinicians and their patients about the need to gravitate when possible towards natural foods or whole foods and gravitate away from ultra-processed foods that maybe have a higher degree of absorption through the gastrointestinal tract and maybe affect satiety in ways that is unintended. So thank you again. Again, my name is Dr. Harold Bays, and you've been listening to Obesity, a Disease.
Thank you, Dr. Bays and Taunt. For more information about Obesity Medicine Podcast and other resources from the clinical leader in obesity medicine, please visit obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. Love this episode of Obesity, a Disease? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. The views expressed in this podcast episode are those of the show host and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please check back soon for another episode of Obesity, a Disease.